Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you about this. What brought me here was the city income tax. To impose it without a vote.
Well, give us your name again.
Sorry. Inga Fisher Williams, Northeast Portland. To impose it without a vote seemed to me underhanded and a mismanaged process. It's been very educational to sit here and hear the many, many good recommendations, and maybe a better funding mix can emerge. I think I find myself in alliance with the Portland Business Alliance. That this is a very big deal, and to launch it without more discussion, I think, is ill-advised. I want to talk a little bit more about process. I think you've missed a lot of good opportunities to craft goodwill with the voters. There have been some statements made that look like this is just the first start, and Mr. Novick is on record as saying maybe in the future we can raise it. That doesn't sound very, very appealing to people who are looking at a brand new tax. It's been a moving target. We all thought it was going to be a street fee. That label has lingered. Now it's an income tax for residential people, so it looks like bait and switch. Then you crafted a separate proposal with the business people and the residential people, and now it looks like divide and conquer. And when you look at East Portland, which has been so starved of resources when they've gone other places, it sort of looks like a little underhanded, this is being put out as the reason for making these improvements and collecting money where all along the need has been there. They've just been powerless and without a voice. So you've, in terms of process, I think to regain trust, you're going to have to slow it down, look at the package of options, and then, like one of the early speakers said, get behind a proposal that you think people will support, whether you send it out or not. You want the goodwill of the voters for this and other issues, and Portland is different. We've supported an art tax, a school tax, a parks bond. We will go for improvements of our city, but, you know, it's got to be fair, equitable. It's got to be explained to us, and the process has not been a good one.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, next.
Kevin Minkoff, Ben Sias, and Herschel Soles. What about Kay Bridges? Zafir Moore? Doug McCourt?
Mr. Moore is here, so go ahead.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Kevin Minkoff. I'm a CPA, not your ordinary bean counter. What's that?
I would have been so disappointed had you not said that.
Thank you. I represent the East Portland Chamber of Commerce Board and the Government and Economic Affairs Committee of the East Portland Chamber of Commerce, as well as a board member of the Gateway Area Business Association. I'm going to take 1 minute to read a prepared statement and then make some other comments. The East Portland Chamber of Commerce supports the positions expressed by both the Portland Business Alliance and Venture Portland. We are very concerned the Street Fund Business Work Group did not reach consensus or sign off on the plan introduced earlier this week. A well-maintained and safe transportation system is critical to economic vitality and quality of life in the city. Business leaders are willing to work with city leaders on a program that addresses problems in the transportation system, including the potential for new revenues. The proposed business fee structure is vastly improved over the original proposal. We ask, however, the city not to impose a residential income tax without voter approval. The city income tax proposal creates inequities because it taxes private sector employee retirement income but exempts public sector employee retirement income. Under the current proposal, 40% of residents will not pay even a modest amount towards street maintenance and safety, even though everyone benefits from the transportation system. Another issue is that home-based business owners will have to pay the residential and business fee. There's another double taxation. That means the backbone of the city will be double taxed. Additional revenues may be warranted to address the $91 million annual backlog of paving maintenance the city identified. However, it is not sufficient to have only $15 million of the $46 million in new revenue dedicated to fixing the backlog of paving maintenance that was the impetus for this new proposal. We also request that the package that this deal have some sunset clause. As I've been listening to hours and hours of testimony and your comments, I would like to make the following recommendation, twofold. One is that there be some emphasis on government efficiencies. A lot of people have talked about waste here, waste there. It seems it's a general consensus. I know from my own experience being on a citizen committee for the Gateway Urban Renewal District that whenever I spoke to any representative from any of the different bureaus, PDC, Parks Bureau, the Bureau of Environmental Services, PBOT, Metro, those representatives seem to not have any clue of what was going on in any other bureau or department. And we're talking about improvements in the Gateway Urban Renewal District that were either going to overlap or create holes where certain projects needed to be covered, be taken care of. So I believe that some kind of oversight committee to look at recommendations for government efficiencies, basically cooperation and coordination, would be helpful. The second recommendation is that we look at, and I've heard a lot of different suggestions, but I think why not take a look at a broad spectrum of revenue sources? It seemed like people were talking about an income tax and a business tax, or a parking fee, or a gas tax, or it doesn't have to be or, it can be and. How about a 1 cent or 2 cent gasoline tax and a parking fee and and an income tax and a business tax?
I'm going to have to ask you to sum up because
okay, and finally,
with all of the examples of other things we could.
Well, I think it just needs to be and that it can be reduced on each individual level. In terms of the individuals who are exempt, because everybody, I agree with you, Commissioner Novick, everyone has to pay something because roads just deteriorate, whether they use them or not. So a user fee and some kind of an income tax, but find some way that people who earn $60,000 or receiving $60,000 from PERS and $50,000 from Social Security, a married couple, $110,000 a year is not poverty, except they won't pay anything because it's exempt. And I understand why, but somehow it needs to be worked out that they also pay something.
Thank you. Appreciate your creativity. I just hope it's safe for you to go back to the East Portland Chamber of Commerce now that you've publicly endorsed a parking tax, which somehow I don't think will be wildly popular with all of your members. But I appreciate your creativity.
Also not with my Republican friends, but that's the way it goes.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, Moore. Councilors.
Put your name in the record, Zephyr.
Zephyr Moore.
Yes.
We need to prevent road wear simply and to pay for road repair painlessly. Inside this envelope is an item that weighs 1 pound. The only place it's useful is on the road. What wears the road? Weight. The only place that this thing is useful is on the road. Have any of you ever ridden on a Tri-Mount bus? Do you know what? Have you ever read the word Gillig? G-I-L-L-I-G.
Mm-hmm.
You have.
Right.
Where did you see it?
On the name of the bus.
They make the buses.
Right.
Okay. They put this pound, 1 pound, on the license plates of the buses. And there's 600 buses, which means there's 600 pounds that the roads are carrying every day for this. I want you to call Neil McFarland at this phone number. Please make note of this number. Please make note of this number. Call Neil McFarland tomorrow. Am I down?
Yeah, that's good.
Call Neil McFarland tomorrow and say to him, what in heaven are you packing a pound of California bus manufacturer advertising on our buses? I mean, they won't even say thank you, let alone with not giving a tax. There's some other real easy, and in the room today, there was this much liquid left in the garbage or whatever, and there's this banana peel. Well, where do they move? How do they move? On the road. That's weight. If you go to any Starbucks, you'll find a gallon of water in every garbage can. That's 8 pounds. Help people think. Don't throw stuff in the garbage. To pay for road repair, I'm an Amsoil synthetic oil dealer. I guess that's hopefully that's obvious. People here who have cars, they need oil. If they purchase oil through Amsoil, Amsoil donates the profit to nonprofit causes of the buyer's choice. So the city of Portland, with my car, engine, transmission, differential fluids, was $93 wholesale, $122 retail, $29 profit would go to the city.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that special, that charitable gesture as well. Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Herschel Soles. I'm a socialist, so I guess I do like trying to be progressive. I mean, those are my requirements for any kind of a tax, equity and progressivity. I'm a little puzzled by this cap on this progressivity here. I don't understand. And even they have these little gaps, you know, certain income brackets.
Right.
And it's regressive within the brackets. Why do they do that? It's almost like they're doing the math for these people. Just you can have these income brackets and assign a certain percentage, and you're done. You don't have to figure the number they have to pay. Just it's progressive. The more you make, the more you pay. Move to the next bracket, the more you make, the more you pay. What came down here because I was concerned about the PERS exemption, and evidently you guys are going to work on it, and I thank you for that. Thank you for trying to recognize that we do have this regressive taxes throughout the system here. We have this. I just spent a week working on doing phone calling to try and get GMO labeling here because some people have too much money. I mean, they distort the system here. You know, I would also like to say that if people make money in the city, it seemed like that should be available for taxing. I'm not sure why I think that. And my thought goes right to the trailblazers. Here's this gang of millionaires. I mean, they're depending on the city of Portland to kind of promote their little product, their games. I mean, if they were the Marshugal Blazers or the Woodburn Blazers, it wouldn't sell all that well. But are you really here to tell me that they're not going to be paying this tax because they probably don't live in the city?
Oh, I think some of them will pay the tax, and certainly the business will pay the tax.
The business, but the individuals may or may not, huh?
Right.
Well, it seems to me if they make money in Portland, they should be kind of helping to pay the roads. I mean, to me, the Blazers are a traffic jam every once in a while and a place to go demonstrate when they play a team from Israel, the genocidal government of Israel. So thank you very much for trying to have a
thank you. Thank you.
Progressive tax.
All right. Let's take the next three, please.
Okay. Doug McCourt. Patrick Kane. And the last two who signed up were Nicholas Clark and Clifford Schrock.
We're not having any discussion.
No. Welcome.
Welcome, Mayor Hales. Good to see you again. I hope I brought the right papers. Boy, it has been a long day.
Thanks for waiting. Just put your name into the record, please, Judge.
Doug McCourt, Northeast Portland. Commissioners, Mayor, thank you for taking my testimony. I'm here today on my own behalf. As a citizen, a resident of Northeast Portland, I am recommending that, like many before me, the income tax is the wrong approach to this problem, and that we do slow down the process. I would support, for all the reasons that my former supervisor, Don Gardner, mentioned, and I won't go through all of that testimony, and I'll try to take the advice of some of the other commissioners and try to add on some new ideas here. I think it's helpful to note, largely under Commissioner, at that point, Commissioner Hale's leadership, I spent about a decade of my working career in the Office of Transportation. The environmental manager, where my responsibility was for making sure the maintenance bureau was doing things correctly, the street systems engineering, with respect to both what it did, its impact, as well as what it used, staying on the right side of the environmental regulations and all of that. Safety, adequate maintenance, fairness in how we approach budgets to fund and maintain our streets were always critical elements of what we did. And for that reason, I'd like you to consider a couple of options that I think would be a much better fix in the long run as well as the short run for this problem. Before I get there, if this body does decide to take this proposal forward, please take it to a vote of the public. I think it's going to harm the integrity of this body permanently if that does not occur. And I think enough has been said on that. One other thing on if it does go forward in some iteration of its current form, several people have mentioned, and I think Commissioner Fritz, you talked about having a sunset. If there is, it should have a sunset, and the sunset should be probably every year or at the most every 2 years. We shouldn't use the Oregon Assembly's six-year sunset approach, which is common to tax credits, because that's really inappropriate here. That is largely used to try to say, look, we're taking money out of the system. Do we need to stop and take a look at what those impacts are every year? This one is, for all the reasons that have been, all the testimony here, is that you know you're going to collect certain amounts of money and you want to see how it's being used. And specifically since it is a fairly radical step towards an income tax, one of the strongest pieces of authority that any government has, I think you're going to gain a lot of respect from the voters to basically say, okay, let's stop soon and see whether or not, A, we've collected the right amount of money, B, we're putting it to good use, and C, whether we need to look at other options or stop or reduce the tax. And that's why you don't need a six-year sunset. You need it either every year or every 2 years.
Okay. So I need you to wrap up.
Okay, so several people have commented on the idea of looking at other bureaus' budgets. Under our current bureau arrangement, that is difficult for some of the reasons that Commissioner Fritz and we all have mentioned. You might not remember, I know you probably do, Mayor Hales, but in the 1980s and for many, many years before that, our Transportation Bureau was a part of a Public Works Bureau. That Public Works structure had water, sewer, and transportation in it. And what did they do? They had surplus budgets. They shared and pooled their money, and they ran a really efficient shop. I'd urge you to take a look at that and how that was done under Dick Bogle and the past, because you won't run into the kind of problems that Commissioner Fritz identified with how do we share that small pie. You actually force the bureaus into sharing that pie, and your problem goes away.
Yeah, my transportation is all for you.
So one last thing I would just like to quote, and the reasons why I think the tax part is unfair is it really doesn't apply in terms of the impact. And let me just cite you a quick statistic from a recent study done by economist Amy VanderVliet of the Oregon Employment Department. 2008, she looked at, okay, who's coming to Oregon? Who's using all of our systems and all of, you know, not paying taxes but getting the benefits? 2008, 60,000 workers from Clark and Skamania counties were coming for jobs in Oregon. That number, I don't have current statistics, it's probably gone up. 59,000 of those came from Clark County alone. Half of those were making $40,000 a year or more. Only 13 out of every 100 workers, or 13%, was below was considered low income or below. What does that all mean? It means that we have an incredible amount of users of these road systems that will not be subject to the tax, that are using the system and not paying for it. That is fundamentally unfair. And that's just the example from Clark and Skamania County. You know the some remaining area in the Tri-County area has similar statistics. So,
thank you. That's great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
You bet. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Nicholas Clark. I'm representing myself here. I do volunteer, and what my volunteering has included has been with the Neighbors West Northwest and Goose Hall Foothills League. One of the things I see that's going on generally is there aren't enough volunteers working, like for parks, or there are a few examples in here where volunteers could be doing some of the work that city employees are doing. With parks, for instance, right now the Timbers Army goes out and they fix up the fields for different parks, but they need a supervisor there all the time. and the supervisors don't work but on the weekends. So now it's double overtime or overtime, I'm not sure. One of my suggestions is to train volunteers to supervise jobs with other volunteers and create more volunteering. There are a couple examples in here where under operations and maintenance, street signs, those could easily be put up and dealt with by volunteers. Reducing hazards where any demo that needed to be done. Old infrastructures, same thing. Remove vegetation. So there are several examples there. Sorry, I'm looking for any more examples in here. I just got this.
Well, why don't you leave us a copy of that, if you would.
Please. Okay, and then another thing in here that I noticed was that on the street where there's projected cost estimates, there's the 1 to 3 years, and then there's no estimate on the next one, but you'll have things like Northeast MLK Junior Boulevard for 1 to 3 years, install rapid flash beacons at Northeast Going Bryant and Holman. And so there's a 1 to 3 years, and then down here they do the next half of it.
Let me ask you to wrap up, and
I'm good.
It should our staff.
I'm mainly for getting the involving volunteers in there. Yeah. I think there's a lot of money just draining out of the city, and I know that unions don't probably want to allow this, but we had a thing in Goose Hollow where we put up our sign caps that say Goose Hollow, and it was very difficult working with the city. It was hard to get them to come out. We almost lost our funds. It was a grant. And then when they came out, they actually didn't finish the job. And it's been a year. So I could have definitely volunteered and probably got 50 of those signs up myself.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Excuse me. My voice. Oh, thank you for your time. And
thank you, everybody.
All righty.
That's all who signed up.
Anyone else that you may have gotten the last word there? Come on up. Last chance saloon, but not a saloon at all.
My name is Rick Barco from East Portland, Southeast Portland, Mall 205. I wore this badge. I'm not representing Rose City Garden Railway Society. I just thought it made me look more important. And this is, for me, just kind of a story of threes. This is three little triplets. The first one, this seems to be an effort over the last 13 to 30 years, as was discussed yesterday on OPB, kind of a recycled strategy that's been taken. This, if it was put to a vote, you're convinced it'll fail again. Well, that's three times. It's not third time is a charm, necessarily. Could be three strikes and you're out. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Past failed initiatives as justification for new taxes is pretty disingenuous, as far as I'm concerned. That's my first triplet. Second triplet, sources of funding. Rising tide lifts all boats. Increases in property taxes, increases in income taxes in a robust economy. That's not to say the world can collapse tomorrow, but it looks like we're going to be doing fairly well with those going forward. So, you know, get a handle on maybe with your economists, get some projections on that. Two, and I distributed a couple of papers to Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish. I don't know if they got those or not, but it goes into detail. New enhanced gas tax revenues, lobby Salem. We need to do this at a local level, regional level, state level, federal level. The elasticity of demand now with gasoline, we're pumping the hell out of North and South Dakota. We're going to have gas coming in out of our ears for the next foreseeable future. there's enough of a gap to where I think a fairly significant gas tax can be implemented at each of those levels in coordination with each other and provide a good amount of revenue. And the marijuana initiative, what is that going to bring over the next 5 to 10 years? We don't know. Okay, let's maybe wait and see how that goes. And the 800-pound gorilla in the room is 50 miles of unpaved streets. Okay? There should be some equity. There should be some justice for these underserved areas. Safety. Pave the streets. Okay? Social justice, safety, economic opportunity, and cultural integration is key. An affirmative action program for those areas that have this problem. Buy out the lids. Have a 10-year plan to do it, however long it takes, because I know that's the gorilla, is the lids. Start the conversation. Take some time, and let's figure out how to fix that. Pave the streets. Everybody take a deep breath. School bus is not going in the pothole anytime soon. Start over addressing the most critical maintenance and safety projects now. We demand accountability and oversight, enhancement of all this process, and a reprioritization of the city budget. Maintenance comes first, not last. Vote no on the street fund. Pave the unpaved streets. Show us you deserve our trust. Give us some goodwill. There's 150,000 plus people living east of the 205. And, oh, by the way, I threw my hat in the ring to be a member of the Metro TPAC. So good. That may or may not happen, but I'm going to give it a try. Right.
Thank you very much. Good evening. You get the last word.
All right. My name is Hiram Asmuth. I'm a citizen activist, political activist. My biggest problems with the Portland Street Fund project list are actually on page one. I'll actually quote. I don't know if you guys have one in front of you. You can read along if you'd like to. It's in a gray box. It says, percentage allocations are targets intended to ensure accountability and smart project delivery. This next line is very disturbing. Targets subject to further adjustment. Although we have identified safety and maintenance projects, most projects include both safety and maintenance components. And kind of a reiteration of line two is line four. Note, cost estimates and project lists presented below are preliminary and subject to change. Based on the auditors and the assessment that's been happening in Portland recently, how can Portland trust you guys to go through with these numbers? Are we really talking about a $46 million tax? That's what I came here to discuss, was a $46 million tax, because that's what it says in the Oregonian, the Mercury, and I don't see that number here anywhere. I see a number that says $202,800,000 with no cap. I just see a six-year projection. And these are projections. You know, your recent track record of projections hasn't been the most pristine. We're talking about, like, just the BES Palace, for example, $2.7 million initial projection, comes out at over $12 million. Then you guys audit that, and then you say, oops, sorry. You know, is this going to be another situation of that? We're setting a dangerous precedent here. You're dealing with a personal income tax that will not get voted on for the first time in Portland history. I think you guys need to take a much better look at your responsibility to be our advocates, because to ask us to come up with solutions to your inefficiencies and then basically to ask us to be your advocates, when in fact we hire you to be our advocates. Just one brief example, because I've just got a few seconds left. I run a business where I handed one of my managers a credit card, and that person spent $700 more than was allocated in the budget. I saw this online, I fired him instantly. We don't have that option here. If this money gets misspent, then all you're gonna do is have to continually ask for more, and that sets a dangerous precedent. I'm sure the Bureau of Transportation isn't the only division here in Portland that has inefficiencies, and that's the first thing you let out with, Mr. Hales, is that while I understand there are inefficiencies in Portland city budgets and they're inefficiently ran, and sometimes there's disagreements, this isn't about disagreement. This is about running an effective business model. And I kind of am just reiterating something that has been said by Mr. Romaine and many other people. Please take this job seriously. Please understand that if we can work within the system with what's already there, and even if we were to do simple things like two guys or three or four people ago, this gentleman said, and that's an option, but please discuss it with us. You know, look at us as your friend and become our advocate. That's what we're asking you to do.
Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Entwistle.
Yes, Stephen Entwistle. Get my last word in here. I'm going to be real fast, so don't worry. I'm not going to drag it on. But anyway, I'm very impressed and very encouraged and optimistic with the people that have spoken today from the city, from our city here, and I have a renewed hope because of the wide spectrum of folks from all different backgrounds that have spoken today, and of being able to give their opinion. The one thing that I would recommend, though, and that I've heard other people talk about, and that is that we make these meetings after work times, work hours, so that more people can give their input, you know, that are working and that are busy doing other things during the day. The 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't think it's a good idea, but anyway, that's what I would give you recommended. So thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, then I'm going to close the hearing and see if there's anyone that wants to bring anything up today. We also obviously have 2 weeks to get ready for the next council session on this item. So, Commissioner Novick.
I just want to thank everybody who spoke today. I think this was an... I want to thank everybody who spoke today. I think this was an incredibly thoughtful discussion. But I particularly want to thank the members of the band. I want to thank Mark Lear on drums, Dorothy Mitchell on keyboard, Jamie Waltz on bass, Ken Lee, lead guitar, Alyssa Mahar, rhythm guitar, Leah Treat, lead vocals, Dylan Rivera, backup vocals, Terry Williams on the harmonica, Thomas Lanham on sax, and Brian Hockaday and Chris Warner, my staff, both on cowbells. We take seriously Christopher Walken's dictum that you got to have more cowbell. Thank you all very, very much.
Mayor, I have a 7 o'clock I have to go, but could I just say that it's days like this that I'm especially proud to be on this council and to be a Portlander, because however we come down on this and whatever your view is coming into this, these kinds of hearings bring out the best in Portland, and it's been an honor to be present and to hear such thoughtful and passionate testimony, and I think we have a lot to talk about over the next 2 weeks. So I thank everyone who took the time to share their views with us, and I thank the two sponsors for structuring this hearing.
Thank you. I agree. It was an excellent hearing. We really appreciate everyone's points of view. We will be back to this topic in 2 weeks, and we are adjourned.
Thanks, you two.